to Galatians. We were just talking about the covenant that was made with the animals, and it was only God that passed through. Abraham couldn't because he was finite and God is infinite. Nothing that Abraham could do could cause that contract, that promise, to be ratified, because it would extend beyond his life, well into the future. It was an eternal covenant, and much of it is yet to come, when Israel will be back in the land and set up as the head of the nations and not the heel, as they are today. So, another reason Abraham could not pass with God through that covenant, he was a sinful man. And God cannot have sin in his presence. There would have been judgment on Abraham for his sin before he could be with God in that. And that would require his death. So Abraham could not go in as part of the ratifying of that contract. That agreement, that promise from God, was solely from God to Abraham. And it would affect people throughout the years, even unto today. We see that the Israelites, I was told that, amazing enough, of all the countries in the world, Israel has the 8th strongest economy. And how big is Israel? See, the Lord keeps his promises. They have discovered, you wonder how they're going to become the head of the nations. They have discovered in the Mediterranean Sea, when Israel finally gets back to the land and they stretch to the sea in the Mediterranean, there's huge amounts of natural gas under the sea, more than they have even discovered if you add it all together. It's easy to see how God's going to make them the head of the nations. And oil in that area is abundant too. So God's promise is not empty. It's full. And it will come to pass. Now, this is one of these double promises that God made. He told Abraham that in all the earth would be blessed because of him and his seed. Now, we generally think of, when we think of Abraham's seed, we think of all of Israel, right? Scripture says, in thy seed. Remember that. Let's look at Galatians 3:16. We're in Galatians, get down to verse 16. We'll jump ahead a little bit. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, that's God, saith not, and to the seeds of many, but as to one, and thy seed, which is Christ. There's a double promise there. Abraham was promised a great multitude. And when he heard the word seed, that God promised him a great seed, he was thinking of sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera. Paul clarifies that. That was true, but the singular refers to Christ. That all the world would be blessed through Abraham's seed, and that seed is Christ. And we are blessed today as believers through Christ. But one day, he will rule over all the world, and all the world will be blessed through the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. Scripture often has double meanings. The here and now, the close and the far. And this is one of those prophecies. The here and now, Abraham's physical seed. The far, Christ. And all the spiritual seed. And then further again, when he's ruler over all the world. So you can see why Abraham could not participate in going between the animals with the Lord. Because the promise was that great. So it had to be that only God could pass through. Why did God establish these promises to Abraham? Why did he pick Abraham? Abraham had brothers. He had a father, he had a grandfather. Why did he pick Abraham? He called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. Abraham believed God. Not everybody would have left. God knew Abraham inside out and backwards, just like he knows us inside out and backwards. He knew that if he spoke to Abraham, Abraham would obey. And he did. And in Genesis 15:6 is the portion that we've been talking about a little bit. Genesis 15:6 reads, "And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness." There it is. That's where the first mention of it is in scriptures. We have two other references that we looked at. But here is where God counted his faith, his belief, as righteousness. Our salvation, how does it come? Through works? Nope. Through faith. We are given righteousness of God. Same as Abraham. Remember, Abraham was 430 years before the law. So Abraham could in no way fulfill the law. He didn't know anything about it. And the law is more, I have to say this, the law is more than just the Ten Commandments. It's the total law, all the sacrifices, all the feasts of Jehovah, all the washings, all the cleansings, everything that God gave Moses. It's the law of God. I know a lot of times I think, and we all think, when we hear the law, we think of 1 through 10, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. But it's really the whole law. Everything had to be kept. Tough thing to do. In the law, they were required. All the males were required to come to Jerusalem and worship. And if they were to bring an animal for sacrifice, if it was too far, God made a way for them to come to Jerusalem, because he started out with a perfect lamb and he walked it from all the way to the top of Israel all the way down to Jerusalem. It was probably not a perfect lamb anymore. Probably had a broken leg or something. So he said, you could take your perfect lamb, you could sell it, take that money in your hand, bring it down to Jerusalem, and buy a lamb. See? The Lord took all excuses away for not reporting in, so to speak. Every male had to come. That was part of the law. And if you failed to come, that was sin. You broke the law. That simple, that easy. So we see that Abraham could not have kept that law. It wasn't there. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7 of our Galatians 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. Wow. We, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are linked to Abraham's. Think of that. People say, well, you're not Jewish. No, we're not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. But because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, we believe God and it's counted to us as righteousness, we're like Abraham's children. We're Abraham's children spiritually. Not physically, spiritually. When you believe, this is one of the 36 to 40 things I said happen at salvation. When you believe and you receive the Spirit of God, you are now a spiritual child of Abraham. That's amazing. It's not by keeping the law. It's not going down and registering with somebody or some person or some legal system. It's not making a journey back to Jerusalem and kneeling a certain place and doing a certain thing that you become a child of Abraham. We become a child of Abraham spiritually at salvation, at the moment of salvation. Abraham was a man. He had faults. This is true. We're not going to say that he had no faults. I'm not going to say that. He did. And we know Scripture tells us of some of the things he did. Passed his wife off as his sister and some other things that God disciplined him for. But Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Just the way that when we're saved, it's our faith that brings to us the righteousness of God. Let's look at verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all the nations shall be blessed. This is the good news. The gospel means good news. Abraham was given the good news that through him, all the nations, that's the Gentiles, will be blessed. This was told to Abraham. It was good news. Abraham, he didn't, I'm sure, understand how and why. And maybe he thought that, well, when his people grow big, they'll be able to traffic and earn money and they'll be the head of the nations. That will be true one day. But we see here that in all the nations will be blessed because of Abraham's seed. Genesis 22:18 is where that's taken from. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham obeyed the voice of God, showing his faith in God. If God had spoken to Abraham, and Abraham's just stayed where he was, there was no obedience. But Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Now, you have to get the picture. Abraham is living in the middle of a heathen society, loaded with worship of images and sacrifices to whatever. A plural system of gods, many gods. Abraham chose to believe the God that spoke to him was the living and the true God and obeyed him. Those nations were steeped in idolatry. And as we would say, demon worship today, because that's what it is. Abraham heard the voice of God, knew it was a different voice from anything else he had heard, and chose to obey it. And because of his obedience, all the nations will be blessed. To me, that's amazing. My big question I would like to know is, why did Abraham choose to leave what he has known throughout it? Remember, he was how old when he left? 75. So we can say for 76 of those years, he was steeped in idolatry and demon worship. What turned him in that 75th year? When he heard the voice of God, what turned him? That's a question that makes me curious. Scripture don't say. It just says that he obeyed the voice of God. Something inside him responded to that voice. And he knew that this was not like the other gods that everybody was worshiping. This God was living and true and holy and righteous. How he knew this, I can't answer. Scripture don't explain. It just says that he obeyed God. That he obeyed his voice. We have to remember, when God speaks to us, it may be through the reading of his word. It may be we're in prayer. It could be anywhere God can choose to touch our hearts with his voice. We need to learn what that voice sounds like and to obey it. Because of the obedience of one, Abraham, the whole world's going to be blessed in one day coming. He heard that voice and he responded to it. In Genesis, we come also to the history of the offering of Isaac. Now, remember, Abraham was promised a seed. And we know from the writings of Paul, who it speaks of besides the immediate fulfillment of that prophecy, which was the birth of Isaac. Abraham believes God. I mean, it's amazing. He takes his son, his only son Isaac, and they take a 3-day journey out into the wilderness. He says to the servant, stay here. The child and I will go worship and return. The word return in the original language is plural, not singular. And we know what Isaac says on that tree up the hill. Father, I have the wood and you have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? The faith of Abraham is so amazing. He says to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. In his head, I can imagine the thoughts. I know what would be going on in my head, spinning around. This young fellow, he, if you calculate the ages, he wasn't 8 years old or 10 years old. He was closer to 18. And this is after he left Ur of the Chaldees where he was 75, so he could be easy 80 at this point. They go up the hill. They build the altar. They put the wood on it. I don't think he picked up Isaac and put him on. I believe he probably said, Isaac, you're the offering. I'm sorry. You have to lay down. And he binds him. Here is Abraham, ready to sacrifice the seed as he sees it from God. But his faith is so strong that he had told the servants that they would return using a plural word showing guaranteed we're both coming back. He believed God could raise him from the dead. Think of something. Nobody at that point in the scripture text has ever come back from death. How can Abraham go and stand over his son with a knife in his hand? And I believe there were tears streaming down his face as he was ready to plunge that into the boy's heart. But he had such faith in this God that he had followed out of the Ur of Chaldees, who he had separated from Lot and all that happened to Lot. He was willing to give his son if God required it. Talk about giving your all for the Lord. Think of it yourself, having one of your children and sacrificing one of them. God doesn't want human sacrifice. The angel comes and says, stop! And as Abraham looks around, he finds a ram caught in the thicket in the bushes. Releases Isaac. They sacrifice. And true to the words that Abraham had spoken in faith, they come back together. Talk about faith. Hebrews 11. You can see how much faith Abraham has in this God he is following and serving. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, was a better translation of that word, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. This was a testing of the faith of Abraham, and he came through with flying colors. He trusted and believed this God that he served would bring him back. As the end of the verse said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Never, as I said, up to this point in the scripture, was anybody resurrected. So he trusted God implicitly. The first recording of someone raised from the dead is in 1 Kings 17:22. That's the widow of Zarephath's son. He was the first one, and it was a prophet that brought him back to life. God used it. But that's the first one. Abraham was well before that. And he accounted God capable and able. Nothing he could do, he knew, could impress God or put him in a right standing with God. He knew that his faith and trust had to be complete. James 2, 21 to 26 reads as follows. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture which was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. No contradiction here. What we're looking at is Abraham's faith was so strong that the offering of his son was a testimony to his justification before God. Rahab the harlot is also looked at in Jericho when she let the spies out the window. After she hit them, she said, oh, they're not here. And down over the wall they went, and back to the armies of Israel they went. Her act, her works of doing that, showed forth her faith in the God of Israel. And she was saved, and everybody in her house. Our faith should be so strong that it is seen through our works. We're not working for salvation. The works is the outcropping of that salvation, of our faith. Our faith should be so strong that is seen by our works. Powerful things that we're seeing here today. And verse 9 reads, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So there we are. We're blessed because of faith, not because of works. Works cannot do it. Scripture says that over and over and over again. And the life of Abraham shows that to us clearly and plainly, that it was his faith, his believing on God, that brought about imputed righteousness from God. His works were not for his salvation. His works were because he believed God and knew that God would work it in the end the right way. That's why he took Isaac up to sacrifice him. Otherwise, he would have said, excuse me, God, couldn't I take a son of one of my servants? No. It had to be Isaac. Because in picture, Scripture tells us he received him back from the dead. In picture. He was as good as dead on that altar if God hadn't intervened. Received him back in picture of Christ. Rising from the dead, out of the grave. There we have a picture all the way at the beginning with Abraham. That we are not of works for our salvation. Paul says we're not of works, lest any man should boast. We have no boasting. Christ has done it all. In closing, there's a hymn. I'm going to ask George to do some work now. Does he work? Excuse me, I just woke him up here. Enough, one for everybody. This is a hymn that we've sung at Germantown and Enfield, and also up at, I said Enfield. There should be enough one for everybody. It's a hymn that I thought very well fitted with what we were looking at. That it's not of works, not of what we can do that brings our salvation. This is taken from Grace and Truth Hymnal. I like their tune better than the one that we have in the Red Book, only because I know it better. And also, one other thing, in verse 2, Hymns of Grace and Truth were printed by the Loizos. If you know the Loizo family, very, very strong Christian family, ran a printing business in New York, ran a demolition business down in Texas. And they changed in verse 2. They're the only ones to have done it in all the hymnals I have found. Verse 2, the second line, it says, stooped in love to die. The original is stooped to do and die. But that's a little cloudy, and they felt, keeping closer to the truth of Scripture, Christ came in love for his creature, us. So they're the only ones to have changed it, and they got the permission from the owner, so we have it. So if we could sing this hymn through, it's a very good hymn, and then we'll close with prayer.
Nothing either great nor small, nothing sinner know. Jesus died and paid it all long, long ago. It is finished, yes, indeed, finished every job. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? When he from his marvelous work you cling by a simple faith. Doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. It is finished, yes, indeed. Finished every job. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Cast your deadly doing now down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him, in him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished, yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need, tell me, is it not?
Our God and our Father, Father of our Lord Christ, truth, doing
how can we thank you? How can we praise you? This is a work beyond our description and our ability to understand it, but we revel in it because we know that our salvation rests with an eternal God whose word can never fail, and that one day all those who have believed in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will see him face to face, and we will be able to sing and praise yourself as we should. Even though we can't do that here, we don't have the words, we don't have the ways. But then, what a glorious anthem will be at your feet. We ask that your word as it goes forth around the world, whether here or anywhere else, that souls may be saved, and those who are believers may be encouraged and enriched. Father, we commit ourselves to you for the day, asking for your mercy in our lives. In the name of your Son, we pray.